Right, tonight we're going to finish out 2 Thessalonians. Tonight, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let me take verses 16 through 18. There's only three verses, but they're packed full as Paul uses these three verses to sign off and to minister to these that he has been ministering to concerning the false concept about the time of tribulation or the period of tribulation. There were those who said that Paul had said through either a letter that they saw or had written to them personally that Paul said that we were in the tribulation period because of all the trials that we were going through. And so Paul had to correct the false teaching about the tribulation. In chapter 2 he did that as he set the story straight about the tribulation. But in chapter 3 we've been studying about the commandments concerning their testimony and waiting for the coming of the Lord. The first command was to pray for us or pray about us or concerning us, meaning Paul, that the gospel might have free run and that the Lord might be glorified in his gospel and that he might be delivered from twisted and evil men. That is, those who would oppose the free run of the Word of God. Paul was not praying for himself. He was praying for the outcome and purpose of his life, which was the ministry of God's Word. The second thing he prayed for, and we studied this last week in verses 6 through 15, he says, We give commandment to you, brothers, to withdraw from every brother walking disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. The tradition was down in verse 10. For even if we were, when we were with you, we commanded you this, that if anyone does not desire to work, doesn't say in the original language, it does not say if someone is not working. If someone does not desire to work, let him not eat. That's what the text says. That was our teaching. Paul used himself as an example. That he worked night and day so as to not be a burden to anyone. He wouldn't take food as a gift, which, as he stated, we have the authority to do. The Scripture says that we are to live by the gospel, we who preach the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 that I could show you many pieces of Scripture, Old and New Testament alike, concerning the authority those have that are in the ministry that could come to the body of Christ and show them scriptures about support and the necessities of life, etc. But he says, I didn't, in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, I didn't out of love. Other churches supported me to minister to you. And what did they do? They turned right around and supported false prophets that came into town. And Paul turned around and said to them, excuse me this wrong. In 2 Corinthians 9, he says, excuse me the wrong for working and not being a burden to you. If you're going to support false teachers, then you might as well have supported me like you were supposed to do. But we did not put any of this on you or press you on the issue because out of love. And Paul here is saying that we worked day and night in order to be an example to you, not taking any food as a gift, so that because they had a problem in that church with people not desiring to work with some kind of spiritual, mystical reasons. The Lord's going to come at any moment. You know, we're in the tribulation and I just don't want to be a part of the world. And you know, this whole approach, they made it be very spiritual. When Paul says, if a person does not have a desire to work, then let him not eat. And Paul says, I was an example amongst you. I worked night and day and I paid for my own food. So that's what you're supposed to do. Now, there were other circumstances that Paul was in where he did not. He was fully supported because he was in and amongst a group of mature believers that just knew that there must be support for God's in God's work and for God's stewards to go on and to do the work. That's the way God set it up to be. But some people get tripped up over it because, as Paul told Timothy, the love for money is the root of all evil. You touch and start talking about someone's money, they get real nervous. But it has to do with God's work too. But Paul says, we're not going to risk that you not hearing the gospel just over money, so I'll go to work so that you will not have to pay. And so he encouraged them to not grow weary. Yes, sir.
But wouldn't that also take away, would him working take away from
yes.
the gospel?
Yes. But here's what.
Would that be wrong? Would that be
wrong? Well, it is wrong in principle from Acts 6 because the apostles went out and said, with the distribution of bread amongst the Hellenistic women, to choose out 7 men amongst you who have a testimony about being filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we can appoint over this matter, because it is not right for us to leave the Word of God and prayer to serve tables. And so their top priority in the body of Christ was the Word, and as Acts chapter 6 went on, I think it's either verse 7 or verse 9 of that chapter, it says that when everything was in order, and the word, when the Word increased, that the church increased. So as the Word began to spread, that God, that was God's work. God's kingdom was spread through the hearing of the Word. So they didn't want the Word of God hindered. In Paul's case, it did affect them. It didn't stop it. It affected it. But on the other side, if he didn't do that, and the people came to him and said, "We're not going to listen to you at all." See, that's what he was countering. It was, if he were to come, he was saying in 1 Corinthians 9, if I were to come to you and show you scriptures where those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel, and how that those who preach the gospel ought to be supported by those who are listening and learning, that they would leave and not come back at all. So which is worse? To put that on them and have them not hear, or to go to work and have it be affected, but they still get to hear? See? So that's which is worse, you see. We're dealing here with a group. The Corinthian believers are carnal Christians. They tried to act very spiritual in their meetings, but boy, you talk about their wallet and forget it. So Paul says, instead of losing you, and that's what love was. Love could have just, I mean, he could have just very rightly said, nobody could have argued with him. He could have very rightly said, then forget it. I'll move on to another town. You guys lose. You know, you guys lose out. But he went to work in support of himself to make up for that which is lacking by way of necessities, in order to have the opportunity to reach them and cause them to grow and correct the situation, you see. If he would have left, Paul sees that the situation is just going to remain the same. So he cared about them. And so out of love, he cared about their spiritual welfare, so he gave up himself, you see. Yes, it was a strain on him, but you're talking about which is worse. See? But here in Thessalonica, I mean, people purposely did not work. They had a desire not to work. And so Paul couldn't do it too, because they could say, we're doing the same thing Paul's doing. We could walk through the streets of the city and sit down with the poor people and talk about Jesus with them, say, well, we're ministering too. We don't have to work. So Paul says, if anybody has a right not to work, that is physical labor, in order to minister the gospel, Paul says, it's me. Therefore, I'll go to work so nobody has an excuse. See, nobody else can say, spiritually, mystically, I'm not going to work. Well, if the head guy works, everybody works. See? So Paul was an example. He laid down his life to be an example to the ones who did not desire to work. See? But then as we get in to the text today, in fact, verse 14 says, if anyone does not obey our word in this letter, note that person. The word note is the Greek word for scope. Scope that person. And do not keep company, that is, do not socially associate with them, in order that he may be ashamed. Yet do not consider him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Don't treat him like an enemy. He's a family member. But the whole point of not associating with him is to make him feel ashamed. The worst thing that can happen is to make a disorderly person feel comfortable in their disorderliness. The whole point is to cause them to miss the fellowship. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5 about the man sleeping with his stepmother, you know, give him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so his soul can be saved in the day of the Lord. And so the person's not an enemy. This is discipline, not punishment. But now as we finish out this letter today, verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. The word peace is the peace. It has the definite article. May He give you the peace always in every way. Now, that little phrase there that says always in every way, that's in every situation at all times. So at all times in every situation, may He give you peace. The Lord is with you all. Notice the word be in the text is in italics. That indicates to us that it is not in the original language. And I'm afraid when some of the translators of some of the English translations put in the word be, it's showing that it's a wish of Paul, when in reality it is a fact. It's not the Lord, may the Lord be with you all. He is with us all. That was his whole point. Not as if there's a chance that he may never be. So he's saying, the Lord is with you all in every situation at all times. That's the emphasis there at the end. But I want to go back to verse 16, because verse 16 involves the Lord of peace. Paul's prayer for them, and it's a wish, it's called the optative mood in Greek. It says, may the Lord of peace give, may the Lord of peace himself give you the peace, not peace in general, there's a particular peace that he's talking about. Always, that is, at all times, in every situation. Now, the Lord, Jesus Christ, he is called in this text, the Lord of peace, who he himself gives to his people, not just peace as tranquility in the flesh, because the flesh is not promised to be at peace or tranquil, but the Lord of peace gives the particular peace to his people. And that is what Paul is praying for over them. First of all, I want to take two things in verse 16 about peace. First of all, the concept of peace, and second of all, the condition of peace, experiencing the peace. In this text, in verse 16, it says, now may the Lord of peace. The concept of peace is that Jesus is the Lord of peace. That's his title. He's the Lord of peace. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to study the concept of peace. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 13, but our focus will be verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace. And again, the word peace has the article with it. He himself is our the peace, is how the Greek text reads. This is not peace and tranquility. He is the peace. Peace is a person, not a feeling. He himself is our peace. Doesn't say he gives it, says he is it. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, that is, between Jew and Gentile, to make everybody one. Now the word, the concept of unity and oneness is what the word peace means. It's not peace as a feeling, but when two people are at peace, it means they're not fighting, they're on the same side, they are one, they are united now. It is that kind of peace, not fighting against each other. And so, the Lord is our peace. So the moment that I receive Christ, He gives me Himself. I am now at peace with God because I have Christ. Christ is my peace, you see. When He promises to give me peace, He promises to give me Himself. In other words, everything around me might be in turbulence, even in the flesh or circumstantially. And the Lord is there to say, I'm right here. Yes, but my flesh and my circumstances are not at peace. I'm not at peace about my circumstances. I'm here. There's peace. See, there's peace with God. There's no peace with my circumstances. There's no peace with my flesh. But that's not what God promises, see. The Lord says, you have peace. I am right here. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, his name, meaning calling about Messiah, his name shall be called Counselor, a Wonder, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. So basically, those who have Christ, they are at peace. And we'll get into that about the conditions of peace, how to experience the peace. But it is interesting, in John 16:33, Jesus told the disciples before he went to the cross to die. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. He didn't say that come to me and I'll give you peace and you can run off and feel tranquil in your circumstances. He says, that in me you might have peace. Now, my flesh might not be at peace. My circumstances might not be calm and at peace. But the Lord says, in me you will have peace. In your spirit, where I dwell. Again, that picture of the concept of Jesus in the boat with the disciples, and when the hurricane force came up on the Sea of Galilee and the Lord was asleep in the back of the boat. There's a perfect picture of peace inside the boat. Though the boat was filling up with water, though the waves were splashing up against the boat, and the boat was filling up and turbulence all around to the point that the disciples cried out and said, help us or we're going to be destroyed. The Lord was at perfect peace because he was in control. Basically, his message to them is, have courage. I'm in the boat with you. There's peace here in the boat. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, he said. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So whatever the situation is, you will overcome. Not stop it so it won't happen, but you will overcome. And so I've said these things to you, that in me you might have peace. So the concept of peace in the Bible is the person of Jesus Christ. Period. Oh, I'm looking for the peace of Christ. Looking for him to give us some shot of tranquility in the flesh or calm our circumstances because we're in such psychological and or emotional turmoil over it all. And yet the Lord says, I'm right here. I'm your peace. Peace is a person, not a feeling, not a condition. It's him. Secondly, from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, says, now may the Lord of peace, he's called the Prince of Peace, he's called the Lord of Peace, he is our peace, that in him we might have peace. So the concept of peace in the Bible is the person of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the condition of peace. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Under the conditions of peace, there are two kinds of peace, conditions that are talked about in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The moment that I have received Jesus Christ, I am at peace with God. That's positional. That never changes, ever. My position with him is I'm no longer fighting against him. I am now with him and he is with me. I am no longer the enemy of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I have peace with God. It doesn't say I have the peace of God. It says I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I am no longer hostile against him. I am no longer at enemies with him. I'm no longer rebelling, resisting, or fighting against him. I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is positional. And that is all of the time. No matter what happens or what I do, I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Secondly, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. There's a difference in the Bible between having peace with God and having the peace of God. Conditional. I am always at peace with God, but I don't always experience the peace of God. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand, the word stand, so means in this way, stand firm in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Literally, think the same thing in the Lord. Now, he's not asking them to have the same thoughts. Basically, the word think or the word mind has to do with the frame of mind. Here were two women in the church in Philippi who were fighting with each other over something. It was either a doctrinal issue or some kind of domestic or material issue that had to do within the church. Here's one woman that might have wanted a green rug in the nursery and the other one wanted a red rug. You know, and they're fighting over it possessively as to how the church is going to run things, whether it's going to be done their way. And here were two women going at it in the church. They were opposing each other. Well, when Paul said that they have the same mind or literally think the same thing, it means have the same frame of mind. In other words, whatever your opinion is, the bottom line in functioning together in the body of Christ is that you want what the Lord wants. Now, somebody might want a red rug and somebody might want a green rug. Fine. That's nice to know. But the Lord runs His church. You pray. Maybe the Lord doesn't want a rug in there at all. Or maybe He wants a brown rug or something. It's whatever the Lord wants. It's not what we want. So when you bring two parties together to where they say, here are our differences, but do you want what the Lord wants? Then you have solved the issue. If a person isn't ready to come to that point, then you know where the problem is. The problem is not whether there's a green rug or red rug. There's a problem as to whether we want what the Lord wants or not. And that's then the focus goes off of the rugs and on to the self-will and what one wants. But he says, I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind. That is, think the same things. Have the same purpose and intent. Have the same frame of mind. That no matter what our differences are, we want what the Lord wants. And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. So he's really saying you really need to handle the situation. These women, who though they're having this little rift with each other, are really godly women. They're laboring. They labored with Paul in the gospel, and he's encouraging them to help these women. He says their names are in the book of life. It's possible for people whose names that are in the book of life to not get along. See? So he's saying, I'm encouraging you, help these women. They've labored with me. Their names are in the book of life. They belong to Christ. But they have this issue. The issue is, and the answer to the issue is, that you have to want what the Lord wants, no matter what the differences are. So here we go with principle number one. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. The word rejoice in Greek has to do with satisfaction. Now, if you connect that with what we just finished talking about, you see how this fits in. So if he says, be satisfied in the Lord at all times, and again I will say, that as I'm going to keep saying it over and over again, be satisfied, go back to Euodias and Syntyche. One is not satisfied unless there's a red rug in there, and the other one's not going to be satisfied unless there's a green rug. Well, he says, let the Lord be your satisfaction. You'll never be disappointed. So you want a red rug, but you're satisfied with the Lord. You don't care. You go in there and there's a pink one. It's a material object. Who cares? You know. So he says, if you make the Lord your satisfaction, you will be able to be of the same mind and same attitude towards things in the church together. So he says, rejoice or be satisfied in the Lord at all times. And again, I will say, be satisfied. Secondly, let your moderation, New King James says gentleness, but let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. In other words, when you get too involved in the world and you're so self-indulgent, that's the problem. That's why you can't be satisfied in the Lord. See, you're too deep. You want more of it your way. You need to back off. Let your moderation be known. Are you known for a moderate person or a self-indulged person, you see? Maybe Euodius and Syntyche were self-indulged people. They're just very materialistic and very much into the world. And he says, the Lord is near. You shouldn't be that involved with the world nor what you want. Thirdly, verse 6. I'll read it to you literally. Do not be anxious for one thing. The word anxious is our word merimnao, which has to do with don't allow the attention of your mind to be occupied with one thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, the word supplication means petitioning specific things. So prayer in general and petitioning specific things, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So if you've got something you're anxious about, then give it to the Lord through prayer. It doesn't say pray about it, but give it to the Lord. And with thanksgiving, you know, it's like, Lord, here it is. You handle it. It's off my mind. I'm not going to be anxious about it. Euodius and Syntyche were obviously very anxious about whatever their little quarrel was. Don't let it be on your mind. Give it to the Lord with thanksgiving. Lord, I'm thankful. I can give it to you, and you're going to take care of it. Notice this, verse 7. The outcome of all of this. And the peace of God. Not peace with God. Christ is our peace. He's saying when your satisfaction is in Him, when you don't indulge yourself in the things of the world, when anything comes along that grabs the attention of your mind and gets you so anxious and worried, give it to the Lord. And guess what? You will experience the peace of God. We are always at peace with God. That is positional. I am always in Christ, therefore I am always at peace with God. That makes the peace of God available to me. I don't always experience the peace of God, though I am always at peace with God. See? So for me to experience the peace of God, I am to be satisfied with the Lord, handle the world with moderation, and everything that comes my way that draws me into anxiety and worry, I am to give it to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving so that I can be at peace. Not so that my flesh can be at peace. Not so that my conditions can be at peace. The situation might never ever go away. But the point is, we can experience the peace of God because Christ is our peace. Because He's the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Peace, the Lord said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. So many times we find ourselves going to the Lord in prayer, asking for peace in the circumstances or in the flesh. The Lord will not answer that prayer because that's not what He does. He basically says, I'm right here. But in me you might have peace. So therefore be satisfied with me, He will tell us. Handle the world in moderation. Pray and give everything to me. Don't pray about it. Give it to me. With thanksgiving, because I'm right here to take it. Then you'll experience the peace of God because you know Him. You know that He's real and alive. You know that He's going to take care of everything. As John said in 1 John chapter 5, beginning of verse 13. This we know, that if we pray according to His will, we have the confidence that He hears us. And that is just praying for the Lord's will to be done. Just that's giving it to Him. Lord, just let it turn out the way You have it planned. I'll just accept whatever it is. But John goes on to say in 1 John 5, he says, and if we know that He hears us because we asked for His will to be done, we know that we have the request that we've asked. In other words, whatever is the answer. So it's really finding our satisfaction in Him. Lord, I'm not going to be satisfied until I commit it into Your hands and I'm satisfied with your will to be done. See, when you start getting into certain areas and you start saying, I want it to turn out a certain way, we're not going to experience the peace of God. Though I am always at peace with Him. But when I commit it into His hands and ask for His will to be done, to say, boy, I'm thankful that you're God, that you're my God, that I have peace with you. I'm not fighting against you. That you're on my side, and I can commit it into your hands. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 7 and going through to the end of the chapter, that Satan, our adversary, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he says, cast all of your anxieties upon him, that is the Lord, because he's concerned for you. Because Satan is walking around looking for ways, he studies us, to see various ways in which he can get us anxious and worried about life. Get the attention of our mind caught up with things and just be in a frenzy about things. Job chapter 1 tells us that Satan studies God's people. What is it that I can do to take his mind, her attention, his or her emotions in certain directions? To get their mind and focus off of Christ so that we will not experience the peace of God. Satan can't stand his people just being at peace. Being at peace with Him and experiencing the peace of God because we've committed into His hands and we're only satisfied with what the Lord wants. We're not satisfied with anything else. Nothing short of what the Lord's will is. Nothing personal. I don't want it my way. I want it His way. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The peace of God is going to guard our hearts and minds. It's going to stand guard so that the Prince of Peace Himself, who lives inside, we will experience Him. We go back to our verse that we quote so often in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. That's peace. Because of who He is, and know that He's going to answer it, and know that He is going to take care of it. We just don't know how. But that's what faith is, you see. Faith is giving up any concept or any way in which we want things to turn out or hope that it'll turn out. We only want what the Lord wants. We're at peace because we know it's going to happen. Guaranteed. And so when we are lined up with Him, not the circumstances or not my flesh, when I am lined up with Him and I've committed myself and the situation to Him for His will to be done, I will always experience the peace of God. Because He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My flesh will change. The circumstances will change. He never changes. He's my anchor. See? Back to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. We finish up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 again. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you the peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord is with you all. You see why that's so important to state it as a fact rather than a wish? It's not, may the Lord be with you all. Then he says in verse 17, the salutation of Paul, with my own hand, which is a sign in every letter, and so I write. See, that's to combat false letters. Paul dictated his letters because of his poor eyesight. But at the end of his letters, he began to autograph them with his own hand. So that people could not walk around with a letter saying, I have a letter from Paul saying that we're in the tribulation period. Well, Paul says, This is a letter signed with my own hand, which is now my habit of doing. If my signature's not on it, it's not for me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice again in the English text it says be, but the word be is in italics, with you all, amen. So it literally reads, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you all. His grace is with us. Not may it be. It is. He's with you. His grace is with you all. The word amen means so be it. so be it. He's with you. His grace is with you. He's with you. The Lord of peace is with you all the time, calling you to Himself that you might experience the peace of God that the Lord Himself gives, and that peace is Himself. Basically, He says, I'm here, and that's supposed to bring us to be at peace. It is not a feeling. It's the focus and attention of the fact that He's there, to be still and know that He's God. God says to the Israelites in Isaiah chapter 30 and 31, when they went down to Egypt to find help to fight against Assyria, and God says, I told you if you would have turned to Me, that if you would have returned to your camp in quietness and confidence, that would be your strength. But you would not. You had to go down to Egypt. You had to start looking for human resources to do your battle for you. But not only are you going to be defeated, but Egypt is too, because you look to human resources for your help. So God says, in quietness and confidence, I asked you to be confident and just be quiet. Trust Me. But you wouldn't. So you'll be defeated. God, from the beginning of time, has always brought His people to Himself. Basically says, I'm here. Sure, you're small. Sure, you're weak. Sure, you're outnumbered. But I'm God. Had no impact. Yeah, that's fine. Well, we're outnumbered right now. We'll get back to you on Sunday. You know. No, no. If God is with you, who can be against you? Know who I am. Yeah, okay, we believe in you, but you know, we got to take care of this crisis right now. Go ahead. We don't experience the peace of God. Yes, sir.
You see, with Paul, the peace, after he asked for the infirmities to be removed three times, so much, then he had peace.
He had peace because he stopped wrestling with the situation when the Lord says, My grace is sufficient for you. That's why Paul says here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. His grace is sufficient for everything. And that's what the Lord wants us to learn. It's not sufficient to apply to the circumstance or apply to the flesh. But His grace is sufficient to keep me and to take me through anything. My flesh doesn't have to change and the circumstances don't have to change. That's the message for me to be at peace. He's teaching me to look inward where Christ dwells. He's calling us to study His Word, to strengthen the inner man, where Christ dwells. The inner relationship, not the outer relationship with circumstances and flesh. Next week, we're going to begin 1 Timothy. We're going to go take the pastoral letters. If you ever want to know what a pastor is supposed to be doing, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, very powerful texts. About the Lord's Word, about those in leadership, about those who are members of the congregation of the church, how we are to be conducting God's work and how He wants things done. So it's very powerful letters. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, beginning next time. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give You the thanks and the praise that through Jesus Christ we have peace with God. That our Lord Jesus Christ was the acceptable sacrifice. That You see us through Him. That His sacrifice paid the penalty for our sins. And through His sacrifice You are satisfied with that penalty paid. Because of that we have peace with God. But Lord, we don't always have and experience the peace of God. Because we're anxious and troubled. We're looking at the condition and how the flesh feels. We look at the condition of the circumstances, and we're tossed to and fro. Well, this is natural. Through these experiences and situations, You would have us to turn and learn the lesson, to turn inward where Christ dwells. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And he's calling us to trust him and to learn to trust him, to learn to be still and know that he's God, so that we might experience the peace of God. We pray that we might be at peace. We thank you that we have peace with you. But help us to experience more and more the peace of God that only the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Peace can give, for he gives us himself and his presence. He is our anchor. He is in control of all things. By focusing on him, may we be still and know that you're God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.